Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
I applaud you for just letting it be for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. As we come into our e-community to consciously connect with the ground of our being, God in us as us. I emphasize this every week because it is oftentimes people still want to think of God as the old man with the beard sitting in the sky somewhere. But here on the Sunday Soul, we emphasize and re-emphasize that God is spirit, is the life force, is the presence that is everywhere present, that is right where we are, that is expressing in and through and as us. We are not trying to reach a God somewhere far off in the heavens, but we are acknowledging the source of all that is right where we are. So as always, welcome. And this morning, my theme for my message this morning is, what masterpiece are you creating for your life and of your life? I loved the quote that I shared yesterday by Machona Dilawayo, who says, your soul is your paintbrush. Your world is your canvas. Your life is your masterpiece. Our soul knows what it wants to express as the divine in us as us. But our little small nature, our egoic nature, resists. It either still buys into the thoughts or beliefs it is wrongly holding about itself, that it's not this or it's not that. But the soul knows what it needs to express in and through and as you. I know for the longest while I denied my creative talents because I associated creativity with being artistic, and for the love of God, I never considered myself artistic for the simple reason I could not draw or paint, even if my life depended upon it. But you see, creativity has nothing to do with us being an artist or that sort of form of creativity. That's just one aspect. Creativity is giving expression to that which the life of God in you wants to express as. It may be cooking. It may be decorating. It may be writing. It may be your ability to make other people laugh. It's a myriad of things and not just one thing. Or not just limited to our vague perception. I fully embrace my creativity now and enjoy embellishing clothes that I buy whilst I may not be a seamstress or a knitter or anything else, I enjoy tinkering. And that's the whole beauty of giving expression to whatever it is that's within us, that is our soul calling forth from the depths of our being, that it wants to express. I love what Mary Potter Kenyon says. She says, whether it means producing a piece of art, writing a short story, or simply bringing beauty into our home or into our lives or the lives of others, consider for a moment that we each have the capacity to be creative. The masterpiece, then, is not something we create or hang on our walls, but something in ourselves as we fulfill our God-given potential, utilizing the talents she gave us. The inspiration for this week's message came from our sacred text, which is a relatively new religion that I had never heard of. The religion started in 1924 in Japan. The religion is called the Perfect Liberty Kaiodam Precepts. Perfect liberty is the definition of Kaiodan, which in Kaiodan means religion or church, and it's similar to the religion of Shinto, which is, you know, is a Japanese religion. But it is unique in its own right because its underlying core and its teaching is that life is art. It's based on life being art and self-expression, and that each individual is a unique personality, an artist, you could say, that is continuously shaping his or her own existence. And when we express our true unique selves in everything we do, we are expressing perfectly what we basically uniquely are, our full and unique human potential. And that's when we attain perfect liberty. So it's an artistic life of complete, sincere, and continuous and conscious self-expression, and the highest and most satisfying and most meaningful way of being a human. And when we all live this way, it is said that then there will be true peace in the world. I think that's a fascinating expression of the religion. So this sacred text comes from the Perfect Liberty Kaiodan Precepts 1-4. And it simply says, life is an art. The whole life of man is self-expression. The individual is an expression of God, and we suffer if we do not express ourselves. I believe all of us at some point or time have felt that suffering when we haven't been true to what we really want to do, what we're really about, when we try to do what we think is safe and the best route for us and travel along that path and that journey. One of the things that I think we can all safely say that creating masterpieces are never easy, it comes with the process of challenges, of letdowns, of disappointments, of heartache or heartbreak, lack of belief in yourself. You can look at any number of famous artists from Van Gogh all the way down to, I don't even know, choose. They wrestled and they struggled. They produced what was within them and their souls calling them to produce. Perhaps never even recognizing, and definitely in Van Gogh's case, never being truly honored or recognized for their incredible ability until way after their death. And so it is always challenging, and it's never easy. But nevertheless, it is what our soul requires of us. And my story that I want to share with you this morning speaks to that. Toshigo Ayakoshi changed the face of jazz music over her 60-year career as one of the few women and Asian musicians in the jazz world. Ayakoshi infused Japanese culture, sounds, and instruments into her music. As a pianist, bandleader, and composer-arranger, Ayakoshi cemented her place as one of the most important jazz musicians of the 20th century. Toshiko Ayakoshi was born December 12, 1929, in Darien, Manchuria, historically an area of China. Many world powers fought to control Manchuria during the 20th century. From 1932 to 1945, the Japanese held Manchuria under colonial control. At the end of World War II, the Japanese in Manchuria, including Ayakoshi's family, were forced out. The family moved back to occupied Japan, where they experienced the hardships of post-war life. In an interview, Ayakoshi noted that when the family came back, her parents lost everything. While Ayakoshi had been able to play piano in Manchuria, her parents were now unable to provide her with an instrument. Since Japan was still under occupation, there were many clubs that catered for both soldiers and the local community. The clubs needed musicians to entertain not only the foreign troops, but the Japanese who wanted to dance and listen to music. To keep playing the piano, the teenage Ayakoshi got her first job playing in the clubs in a small combos. By 1951, she was playing piano professionally and leading her own jazz group. In 1952, pianist Oscar Peterson discovered Ayakoshi while he was on a Jazz the Philharmonic tour of Japan. After her playing in a Tokyo nightclub, Peterson persuaded producer Norman Granz to record her on his Verve label. This recording became Ayakoshi's biggest break. After this opportunity, she came to the United States in 1956 to begin studying at the Berklee School of Music in Boston. With her enrollment, she became the first Japanese musician at the school. In 1959, she moved to New York City and established a reputation as a fine bebop, a style of jazz popularized in the 1940s in the U.S. player. She played in clubs such as Birdland, Vigilage Gate, Five Spot, and Half Note. She remembered facing discrimination in the jazz world because she was a woman and Asian. In an interview, Ayakoshi recalled that hearing people ask, "Japanese play jazz? Really?" And when it came to her being female, she described it as really, really kind of thing. In 1959, she also married her first husband, saxophonist Charlie Mariano. The two formed a quartet. In the 1960s, Ayakoshi continued making her mark in the jazz world. She began showing her talent as a composer arranger for big bands and worked with Charlie Mingus in 1962. In 1973, Ayakoshi was moved to Los Angeles with her second husband, saxophonist, the flutist Lou Tabakin. That same year, she performed her first jazz orchestra, the Toshiko Ayakoshi Jazz Orchestra, which went on to have great success. The band debuted at Carnegie Hall as part of the 1983 Cool Jazz Festival and went on to record 22 albums and received 14 Grammy nominations. She became the first woman to place first in the Best Arranger and Composer category in the Downbeat Reader's Poll. She also got lots of other awards. In 2003, she disbanded her orchestra to focus on piano. She said in an interview that it had been 16 years since she discovered jazz and made it her lifetime work. She was so gratified to be recognized for her endeavors, and particularly for infusing Japanese culture into the jazz world, making it universal. I tried to edit that story as much as possible, but I was fascinated. She created a masterpiece that is her legacy that she is leaving the world. And while some of us will not create such perhaps outstanding legacies or masterpieces, it doesn't stop or shouldn't diminish us from creating whatever our own masterpiece should be. She faced hardship in the war, being kicked out of the country she had known, working in clubs as a teenager, being sent to a school abroad to study, where she faced discrimination for being Asian. And still, when she showed her talent, people still judged her because of her gender and her race. All of these things didn't hold her back or did stop her from being that which her soul wanted to be, to paint in the expression, the canvas of her life. And yet so many of us allow little, sure, small setbacks to stop us creating the masterpiece for our lives. It's not education, it's not upbringing, it's our determination and our discipline that allows us. I always remember reading that Beethoven said he didn't sit down to write music because he was inspired. It's because he sat down to write music that he became inspired. Sometimes to create the masterpiece or whatever it is that is our soul's calling isn't waiting for the aha moment, but doing the little things that are necessary to start the process flowing. My poem by Matashona Dai De Leo says, "You are the greatest poem ever written. You are the greatest song ever sung. You are the greatest portrait ever painted. You are the greatest symphony ever composed. You are the greatest act ever performed. You are the greatest masterpiece ever created." Creating of a masterpiece of our life is something that only we can do. When I think of David, who became perhaps the most well-known of kings in the Jewish Bible, who started out life as a shepherd boy, someone who wasn't even considered particularly worthy even within his family. He had elder brothers who scoffed at him. He was out in the field looking after the sheep. And one God told Samuel to go and anoint the new king to be. He went to the father. His father was Jesse. And said, "I've been sent by God to anoint the king that will come next. Let me see your sons." And as each of the sons appeared, he said, "No, this is not him. No, this is not him." And at the end he said, "Well, do you not have any more?" And the father said, "Well, yeah, I've got one, but he's out with the sheep." You see, the father hadn't even considered him. And it isn't whether our parents or friends or husbands or loved ones can see whatever it is that we are seeing for ourselves. We need to know that the divine, the sacred, the holy of holies, that which knows our soul, that which speaks through our soul, knows what it wants to express for us through us. So it's not because of, but in spite of. I recognize as I reflect on my life, my own judgment of myself, and perhaps those, or definitely those of my teachers, and perhaps even of my parents too, has far surpassed what they thought of me and even what I thought of myself. You see, when God, the Holy of Holies, the sacred, the divine, wants to express something, it will use whoever, whatever, that it needs to do so. David may not have seen or believed himself to be a king either, but he did believe in God. And though his journey to becoming the king was harrowing and never straightforward, he never doubted God's plans for him. So, my beloved, my invitation this morning is, if you are not living the masterpiece that God plans for your life, then it's time. One of my favorite quotes has always been from Jeremiah, where God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a life of abundance and good. If that is God's plan for your life, then what masterpiece will you create? My science of mind reading is entitled, There's a Reason Why You Are Here. The first quote comes from The Art of Being. Every human being's purpose is identical. It's to be. The Spirit of God manifesting in human condition. As you awaken to being, your entire perspective of life changes. The second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. Spirit will mold our purposes when we allow it to. The author writes, If you were to die today, would you feel complete? Have you accomplished what you came here to do? Or is there a piece missing? In his classic book, Illusions, Richard Bach writes, Here is a test to find out whether your mission on Earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't. Bach offers us a litmus test that contains some solid wisdom. If you are here, you still have work to do that you may not want to postpone. Many of us have taken an extended cruise down the river of denial, pretending that we always have tomorrow to get around to it, whatever it may be. The slogan for Procrastinators Anonymous could be, Why do today what you can postpone until tomorrow? While instant gratification is the ego's mantra, it is not the call of the soul. The soul knows only to be in the present moment because that is where it actualizes its mission. The takeaway is that living things that don't actualize their purpose lose their life force and slowly wither up and die. If you are alive, it is because your mission isn't complete. Want proof? Place your hand on your beating heart. That is the universe telling you that there is something more for you to do and be today. Life is seeking an outlet for creative expression through you. Open to it now and allow it, receive it, feel it, honor it, be it, and then, as the Nike ads advise, just do it. My beloved, it is not about comparing your masterpiece to someone else's masterpiece, your life to someone else's life. It's simply about opening up your heart to hear your soul's calling and live an authentic and truth of what it requires and needs you to be. It is for all of us to choose to live the life, to create the masterpiece. It doesn't need to look like anybody else's. It just needs to be yours. Wayne Gerard Trotman says, it should be the ambition of every true artist to transform wounds and traumas into masterpieces. As I shared, certainly, Aikoshi demonstrated how she created a masterpiece through her wounds and traumas. And as I shared before, all great artists use their wounds and traumas to create. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes, to go within, to bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation, exhalation, the ebbing and the flow. The contraction and the expansion. Here in the silence, we honor our truly beautiful, incredible body temple that houses the Spirit of God. We take this moment to acknowledge all the work that happens that we are unconscious of, to confirm the positive emotions and release the negative emotions that each organ stores. is, I remind you of our mantra, which is the Spirit of God that has made me, to the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So let us be cognizant as we take these deep breaths in that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Third and final time, inhale. Gently, slowly release. Bring your attention down into your heart, into the cave, the sanctuary of the soul. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the heart as it pumps the blood around your body. Inhale and affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention in your kidneys and your lower back. Take a moment to acknowledge the work of the kidneys and give it thanks. It eliminates the waste and the toxic substances out of the body. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention round to the front of your body, the right side, under the rib cage, the liver, your largest organ that detoxifies the blood and combats infections, and offer thanks and gratitude. Inhale and affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now place your attention on your lungs and take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the lungs as it breathes in the air from the atmosphere, extracts the oxygen and passes it through your bloodstream and the body. Inhale and affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath, I breathe out depression. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now place your attention on your stomach. Your stomach takes in the food, breaks it down, stores it, and extracts the energy and the nutrients needed. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work of your stomach. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Your body is awesome and wonderfully made and created, with so many systems that operate without you consciously giving direction. The skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular and circulatory, the urinary, the intercommunicatory, the reproductive, the digestive systems. All of these systems make up the awesome body temple that you are. So now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. I also invite you to hold our world. To see this beautiful blue globe spinning in the dark atmosphere of space. And take a moment to visualize the white light surrounding it. We know that God is an energy, a life force that is beyond what we can see. That all the galaxies and the cosmos is within the life that is spirit. That operates from the smallest to the tiniest, to the most expansive of universes. There is nowhere where God is not. When we pray, we are not praying to something that is apart from us. We are actually praying to ourselves. We are affirming that which we want or we desire, knowing that it is done according to our faith. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, thanking you for the gift of life, the gift of life that you have given us to create the masterpiece that is uniquely ours to express. Whatever shape or form it might take, your spirit expressing through our soul requires that we fulfill our calling. Whether it's to show up in the world as a great and wonderful creator in all the myriads of ways of expressing and creating. We do not compare ourselves to those who have done what we may consider greater masterpieces. For you do not judge as we judge. You merely require that we carry out our soul's calling. Mother, Father, God, we take a moment to hold in this circle of prayer all those that are in need of healing at this time. Healing physically, psychologically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, in whatever shape or form each human needs. We know that your spirit is right where they are, but is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. We hold in our hearts, our world, and all sentient beings, two-legged, four-legged, winged, hoofed things. The psalmist David said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. May we remember that we are but caretakers of this beautiful planet and honor and nurture all within. For the governments of our world, we ask that the wisdom, the love, the light that is the Christ within each and every one, expressed through them, for them to govern justly, fairly, and with the interests of the people. Mother, Father, God, you know our individual needs as well as our collective needs. And as our teacher said, and knew and taught, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That our hearts and minds stay open to realize the kingdom that is right where we are, kingdom of peace, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of love. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud. I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm aloud. I am loving, loved and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm aloud. I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm. I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our science mind affirmation and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me. Today, I seek and find
my purpose for being.
In everything I say, think and do.
I practice my purpose.
My reason for being. Mindfully.
Joyfully.
Selflessly. Exuberantly. And gratefully. Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me. Knowingly or unknowingly. In thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them.
I freely forgive them.
And I ask forgiveness.
And I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
In thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without, manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, you are a mirror of the beauty of God that created the universe. And today, as it's the last Sunday in October, we're concluding our Black History Month. I trust you have found it inspirational. I know it certainly has been for me a revelation. Sometimes we are overlooked in our accomplishments and our achievements, and it's been refreshing to see what we've contributed. And so I'm going to conclude Black History Month with Una Marston, whose life contained a series of spectacular firsts. She was the first black producer and broadcaster at the BBC. She was the first black writer to stage a play in the West End. In her time, Una Marston was famous, and she was at the center of everything. There's a photograph with her and the BBC colleagues George Orwell and T.S. Eliot, but she's right at the center of it, commanding the room. She set up magazines, wrote poetry, and was published in 1932. In 1932, 16 years before the Windrush generation began arriving, she set sail to the UK. Marston wrote about the racism and the hostility she experienced in London, turning it into powerful poetry. She joined the Nascent League of Colored People, eventually becoming its magazine editor. To the surprise of some of the old codgers in the movement, she proved that a woman could hold her own in matters of Marxism and colonialism. She met foreign dignitaries, including Haile Selassie, and gave speeches on equality that made the news. It is unsurprising to learn that as a black woman from the Caribbean, Marston faced hostility from some colleagues. Complaints about her alleged rudeness came with a side order of unconcealed racism. She was conflicted about whether or not to marry, knowing that owing to the era, it would mean giving up her career. Eventually, this appears to have led to what we might refer to now as burnout. Her mental health suffered, and she ended up being hospitalized in a psychiatric institution in Jamaica. Upon her recovery, she returned to charitable work and political campaigning, setting up a publishing company that made the work of Jamaican authors accessible to as many people as possible. And when she spoke about her work on Woman's Hours many years later, she noted that it marked her return to the BBC. There's a wonderful little documentary that you catch up on BBC iPlayer about her and her work. I think it's just entitled Una Marston. I watched it last week and was blown away. And so my closing benediction, I want to share something from John O'Donohue, his book Benedictus, because I love his work, and I think it makes for a beautiful close. This one is entitled For Beauty. As stillness in stone to silence is wed, may solitude foster your truth in word. As a river flows in ideal sequence, may your soul reveal where time is present. As the moon absorbs the dark of distance, may your style of thought bridge the difference. As the breath of light awakens color, may the dawn anoint your eyes with wonder. As spring rain softens the earth with surprise, may your winter places be kissed by light. As the ocean dreams to the joy of dance, may the grace of change bring you elegance. As clay anchors a tree in light and wind, may your outer life grow from peace within. As twilight pervades the belief of night, may the beauty sleep lightly within your heart. My beloved, as we come to the close of this week's Sunday Soul Connection, my closing song is by Danny Gokey, entitled Masterpiece. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nowhere is ringing in my ears.
Beautiful. Danny Gookie and Masterpiece. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy